The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Morning Answer would like to know what you're thinking. Call 877-590-5843.
I've really got to say something about this. I just saw the LAUSD parents getting ready to send their kids back to school, and the parents are still paranoid that even though their kids are vaccinated and have masks, I mean, the paranoia is incredible. Get over it. Thanks.
It's The Morning Answer.
Thanks for joining us on your Wednesday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And it is back to school time. We've got kids going back to school, San Bernardino, Riverside, Ventura County, and Los Angeles. Well, you're getting ready to go back, LA Unified, next week. And it was the LA City Council this week that had a pretty chaotic scene. Now, sometimes these city council meetings, they get a little crazy, Grant. We have a friend of this program, Zuma Dog, who used to show up and cause chaos at the city council meetings. I think I actually voted for him for mayor over Eric Garcetti. It was me and I think like 14 other people. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't pull it off. But the city council can be a little crazy place.
Okay.
It was pretty crazy this week when protesters swarmed into the meeting. And in fact, even some of them charging members of the LA City Council. On Tuesday, the city council approved a ban on homeless encampments within 500 feet of schools and daycare centers. This was a meeting that was disrupted by protesters who said that it actually criminalizes homelessness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The council voted 11-3 to expand an existing ban on sitting, sleeping, or camping that currently only applies right now to daycare centers and schools specified by the council. This expands it to mean all schools and daycare centers in LA City. The meeting was recessed before the vote because dozens of demonstrators who are pro-homeless or unhoused, as they like to say now, began shouting and the police had to come in and clear out the council chamber. So 11-3, public-private schools came after two previous votes, including one last week that was also interrupted by a protest. This time they finally got it done. Now, the measure has to be signed. This is another element by the mayor, Eric Garcetti, before it takes effect. And who's seen that guy? I mean, has anybody seen Eric Garcetti lately? No. I sure haven't.
What's happened with his ambassadorship? Is he pulled from that?
Or is I believe it's still just in the, it's like in suspension right now.
So do we not have an ambassador to India right now?
I don't think so.
That's not good.
I think there's a lot of places that don't have confirmed ambassadors.
You know, India right now is working with Russia very closely. And India has been an amazing story about capitalism. And that country's really turned around and have quite an economy. We do not want to turn our backs on India. And we do not want to let Russia get a hand with India. And Russia, for a long time, has actually been cooperative with India. There's a longstanding relationship there, as America's history typically had been to side with Pakistan, which was a bad move. And as you know, India and Pakistan don't get along all that well, and that kind of forced Russia towards India. But we need to change that. So if we don't have an ambassador to India right now, that's a really bad thing. I'm not sure Eric Eric Garcetti's a guy for that.
Choke on that one, because, you know, everybody chokes when they talk about...
This is a big day. Way to go, guys.
Eric Garcetti. I think what strikes me about this story is that they're actually a group of people passionate enough to disrupt a city council meeting. You know, leave their... I'm guessing they must have jobs. Or if they don't, leaving Steve Harvey's show during the middle of the day and coming into the chambers of the city council to say that they don't want people who have mental illness and drug addictions, or they want people with drug addictions and mental illness to be able to hang out in front of schools if they want to. Who are those people? How do those people justify their decisions? We are supposed to protect our kids. 500 feet, I don't even think is enough. I think we need no camping enforcement on the sidewalks of Los Angeles City. They'll never take it that far. But for crying out loud, if you're in front of a school or if you're in front of a daycare center, you better believe that you shouldn't have some guy who's just decided to set up his tent and start harassing your kids as they walk in and out of school every day. Who are the people who are defending this?
who would defend something like that? I mean, these are the very places where you would think you'd want to take the dregs of society and move them away from. Yeah, and I'm sorry I called the homeless people the dregs of society, but what else are you going to call them?
I mean, if you see what happens, and look, I drive around the San Fernando Valley all the time. I live in the East San Fernando Valley, where there has been a homeless problem far longer than even the LA City or LA County has seen. It has kind of started there, and it's been bad since 2010. Most people will agree with you on that, or agree with me on that. But now it's expanded into the San Fernando Valley, and every day after I leave here, Grant, I go into the West San Fernando Valley, into the Chatsworth and Northridge area. The encampments are so disgusting that you can actually smell them in your car as you drive by, because they're going to the bathroom on the street. There is filth. There's dirt. There's disgusting stuff that's happening on the streets, and you can see it. I mean, they literally set up a home on a sidewalk. I mean, this is not just one poor guy with a shopping cart or one guy with a tent. These things become full, like they start to take up the block. They have so much junk that they hold up there.
Mm-hmm.
And having that outside of school, come on.
They should start naming these places.
What should they name them?
Like maybe Homeless International Hotel.
Outdoor camping is what we're going to call it. Sean in Los Angeles, you're on The Morning Answer with Jen and Greg. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, go ahead.
So what we need to do is we need to send the homeless people to Washington, D.C., and let Joe Biden take care of the homeless situation since he's just good at talking. That's what we need to do.
Is he even good at talking, Sean?
Good at talking. I didn't know.
That's the nicest thing I think anybody said about Joe Biden in about a month.
He's good at talking. I don't think he is good at talking.
Well, right now, just so you know, that as China prepares to invade Taiwan, Joe Biden is not concerned or worried. But, he's good at talking.
That's because he's in business with China, Sean. I mean, allegedly, he's in business with Taiwan. How about that? Or in China. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sean, for the phone call. I think the idea is actually probably a good one. Bus them. Take the Texas model. Start busing homeless people to the doorstep of the politicians who are incentivizing this bad behavior.
Did you see this video of Joe Biden trying to put his jacket on?
I did. Off in front of the plane. The helicopter, yeah.
I mean, he cannot even get his jacket on. He needs Jill, his hospice nurse, to help him put his jacket on. I mean, it's so embarrassing, and he looks just absolutely so feeble when he's trying to do it, you know, with those small old man steps. Do you know, if I do those small old man steps, the old man shuffle, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, of course.
I want you to take me out back behind the barn, okay?
I'll never do that to you.
I want you to.
I won't.
In fact, I will... I will. I want you to use one of my weapons.
Mm-mm.
No,
won't do it. I can't do it. No,
really.
Nope.
I'll old man shuffle out behind the barn.
You know who might want to take you out though?
Who?
Glenn in Ontario.
I think. Morning.
Good morning, Glenn.
Did he just flush
you're
the,
on
the toilet.
Morning answer.
He literally just flushed the toilet on air.
Well,
I think we ban him from the air for flushing the toilet on air. I think we ban him.
Glenn.
At work. I was in the restroom. That's why.
Wow, so, very good on your labeling on the toilet. Wash your hands,
what do you think? I think a two-week ban. I think a two-week ban on Glenn from Ontario. You cannot call in for 2 weeks when you flush
Glenn,
the
this morning
toilet
in the very first half hour sounded like me, at least with his perspective on the FBI. And I hope Mark Morgan is listening to what I'm about to say, because the road to tyranny in a police state is paved when the police do nothing but carry out orders. Do you remember in the early 90s there was a movie called RoboCop? You guys remember this?
Sure.
Okay, so and in the movie, they stopped the RoboCop because they had too many glitches. The computer kept messing up. But I've said this before. I've been saying this for years, that if police, just like in Uvalde, are just going to carry out orders blindly, we just need to go back to having RoboCops, because that's what robots do. And Mark Morgan said something very telling about 30 minutes ago. He said to you, Grant, did you remember him saying to you that you were speaking about morality, and he said that everything that those FBI agents did was legal.
Yep. And what did I say, Glenn? I said, all bad things in the world happen in the name of following orders. Glenn in Ontario, everybody. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Glenn. Wash your hands, Glenn.
I think, though, Jen, literally.
Happy birthday twice.
The flushing the toilet on air is a two-week ban from the radio program. Okay, Dan, the phone man, you got that? That's a 2-week ban.
That's a penalty of all proportions. I just want to give you a well done for identifying that sound because I did not. My mind did not go there, but he admitted to it.
He did. 2-week ban. Now.
A 2-week ban. All right. 855-785-8255. As we continue, President Trump's attorney, who was in the room, well, tried to be, with the FBI speaking out for the first time about what the FBI did at Mar-a-Lago. What were they looking for? As your Wednesday Morning Answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Monkeypox, schmunkeypox.
This is the Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us on your Wednesday Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
And President Trump, well, he found himself having a pretty bad week. Today, he is offering his testimony in a deposition carried out by the Attorney General Letitia James in New York, part of the witch hunt to go after the Trump Corporation. And on Monday, his home at Mar-a-Lago was raided by the FBI. Christina Bobb is the attorney for President Trump, who happened to be at Mar-a-Lago, and talked about her exchange with FBI agents and whether or not they would let her see the warrant and why they wouldn't let her in the room. Take a listen.
When I arrived and kind of announced myself as the legal representation for President Trump. I asked to see a copy of the warrant. Initially, they refused and said, you know, we don't have to show it to you. And there was a little bit of an exchange about whether it was appropriate to withhold the warrant when you're searching the residence of the former president who's likely to be the Republican nominee in the next election. So they conceded and let me see it. They did not give me a copy of it right away, but they did let me see it. It was very, I would say, thin. And as you can tell from public records, the affidavit, supporting documentation of what the probable cause was to obtain the warrant has been sealed, so we're not allowed to see that. We have to go to court to request the judge to release that, which, you know, may or may not happen. So we don't know what the probable cause is, why they were allowed to search, but they did.
And what were they looking for? She commented on the fact that they were searching for documents.
Were they looking for documents like we've been led to believe for the Presidential Records Act? Is that really the foundational ask on the warrant was for the Presidential Records Act, which has never been aggressively pursued or prosecuted in this country, not once since 1978 when it was put in place. Is that what they told you?
Yes. And yeah, that actually is. They also said that they were looking for classified documents, evidence of a crime as far as classified documents go. So they were looking for both classified information that they think should not have been removed from the White House, as well as presidential records. The irony of both, if you want to call it that, is that it is the president himself who gets to decide what is a presidential record. So why they get to redefine that is unclear, and why they get to search, why that's even in a warrant, it doesn't really make any sense. And the same thing with any potential classified information, which I don't believe there was any down there. We had done a search of it before and didn't find anything noteworthy. Yet I'm sure that they're claiming that there was something, you know, terribly egregious that's a grave matter of national security. But we'll find out.
So, Jen, there you go. That gets back to what you were saying yesterday,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we were talking about classified documents. But according to her, the president can decide what's a presidential record.
Right.
Not even classified. So that now gets back to exactly what you were saying yesterday, but with a little more clarification that even if the president wants to declare a napkin where he writes happy birthday, if he says that's not a presidential record, I guess it does. It's not a presidential record.
Yeah, that was the point, is that the president gets to determine what is classified, as she mentioned, Christina Bobb, talking about what's presidential record. And that's why it sits with me that this has got to have something to do with Joe Biden. I know they're going to try to keep him out of it because they want him to be able to deny that he knew that this was coming. But it is also another sitting president that can decide what is considered to be classified. And so it just seems to me that this is deep. Clearly, one of those lawyers, and I mentioned it was on Twitter yesterday, one of the lawyers for the Clintons, Mark Elias, was talking about, and he even put the statute out there from the National Records Act that says if someone has one of these items that was determined to belong to the National Archives or tried to destroy them or prevent them from being cataloged, that person would no longer be able to run for office. That's all you need to know when you wonder what this is about, what they're looking for. That's it. They're afraid that he will be able to run for office again.
Can you imagine? President Trump, you cannot run for office. We found
a
cocktail napkin.
You took a menu with you.
we found a menu from that state dinner, and Benjamin Netanyahu signed that memo, that menu. We found it in your office.
I've heard of four items that they've talked about so far that we've got confirmation that they took out. One was a cocktail napkin. One was a menu. One was a letter written from President Obama, which was left in the desk for Donald Trump. That was what presidents did for each other, right? They'd leave each other notes and following protocol, apparently. And there was one other item that they also said was in there. It was the Kim Jong-un letter. Those four items were taken. Now, do they belong to the National Archives? Do they belong to President Trump? I think there could be an argument if President Trump, as president, deemed they belong to him. They belong to him. And another piece of the puzzle is that I can't imagine Donald Trump packing up his own boxes. The stuff that was given to him and sent to Mar-a-Lago, would have happened with one of his aides, not necessarily the president who's trying to move documents out into Florida.
Yes and no. You know, though, when you think about...
Hello?
Oh, hello? Someone's calling.
That's a nice phone. That's like an old-fashioned one.
Yeah, I like that. It's not as harsh when it rings.
Mm-hmm.
I get nonstop of these robocalls.
I know.
It's crazy. So anyway,
I got one yesterday that I should get a funeral plot. And I was like, do you know something I don't?
Oh, a funeral plot.
Yeah,
oh,
it was like some Medicare. I don't know. It was obviously some scam. Medicare, funeral, I don't know, something.
What a tough sale that is.
Isn't it? And it was a robot. I'm like, if you're going to talk to me about my own demise, could you at least give me a human voice, please? Thank you.
My Lord. So, if you're the president and you've got a letter from Kim Jong-un, I mean, these are pretty historic letters.
Sure.
I get why the National Archives may want to have that, but I also understand why the president may want to have that too. It's his. It was a personal letter written. You'd want to keep that as what you give up all your right to keep any presidential memento from your time in office? Come on.
Yeah.
But I understand also why there are certain things that probably need to be kept in the National Archives, but there are certainly certain things that don't.
When the Clintons left the White House, they took $170,000 at the time, dollar value of furniture, silverware, of things that came from the White House that they took home with them. They rummaged through and took it home. Now, Bill Clinton was termed out, so clearly he was never going to run again. But I wonder if in some way, and maybe not, maybe is this something that could have prevented Hillary Clinton from running for office, do you think? I guess she wasn't the president,
well, look,
so maybe not. Maybe there was a workaround.
Common sense is going to tell you that there's no way this can prevent you from running for office. The Supreme Court would step in, even for Hillary Clinton. You know, you can do stupid things. This, to me, seems like when you talk about common sense, you know how I solve this problem if I'm in government? I call the president's chief of staff after he's – I said, hey, listen, we got a little problem. The archives wants this. Is there a note from Kim Jong-un? Can we get it back? Oh, gosh, the president really wants to keep it.
Do they not have, like, a scanner?
And then literally you talk back and forth. Okay, well, do me a favor. Can we give it on loan? And then when President Trump, you know, it'll go back to the National Archives. Yeah, no problem. You sign some things. You just work it out.
Yeah.
It's not a felony. Come on.
You work it out if you want to work it out. Biden basement briefing up ahead. Is President Biden fully recovered from COVID? As your Wednesday morning answer continues.
The Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well. Merry Christmas, and let's go Brandon.
Let's go Brandon, I agree.
This is The Morning Answer with Jen and Grant.
Thanks for joining us Wednesday here on The Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield.
The Answer. Breaking news.
Typically, at this time, we go into the Biden basement briefing, but breaking news, well, that trumps everything, pardon the pun. And former President Donald Trump, just an hour ago, arriving for his deposition in New York with the Attorney General's office, Letitia James, about a half an hour ago, was photographed leaving the office, leaving and going back to Trump Tower, where he has been staying over the last several months. And he sounded off about the meeting on Truth Social. He said, nice working conditions as people are being murdered all over New York. And she spends all of her time and effort trying to get Trump talking about the plush and beautiful attorney general's office. He also said that he refused to answer questions. So this is more serious in a statement that he released, refusing to answer questions from New York's attorney general during a deposition into a civil investigation into the Trump family business practices. He says, quote, accordingly, under the advice of my counsel and for all of the above reasons, I declined to answer the questions under the rights and privileges afforded to every citizen under the United States Constitution. What Letitia James has tried to do the last 3 years is a disgrace to the legal system, an affront to New York State taxpayers, and a violation of the solemn rights and protections afforded by the United States Constitution. I did nothing wrong, which is why after 5 years of looking, the federal, state, and local governments together with the fake news media have found nothing, end quote.
Of course they found nothing. Of course he's done nothing wrong. Letitia James, you want to talk about weaponizing the FBI. Letitia James has weaponized the Justice Department in New York. And so that's why I say in many of these liberal states, actually all states, they act as a microcosm of the federal government. We see it in California here. We see it in New York. Letitia James has put her sights on President Trump. She's put her sights on the National Rifle Association.
Don't forget Andrew Cuomo.
What's that?
She took down Andrew Cuomo, too.
She took down Andrew Cuomo. But why did she take down Andrew Cuomo? Because it was convenient for Democrats at the time. He was an inconvenient politician for them.
Well, and she had ambitions, too. Let's be very clear about that.
Exactly. So now, you know, you've got her, who someone who's admitted, by the way, during her campaigns for office, that she would go after these people and she would take down these people. If that's not bias, I don't know what is.
Yeah. So the deposition not going where the attorney general would like it to. President Trump taking the fifth in his deposition today with the attorney general's office. All right. Now we head into that Biden basement briefing.
This is the daily Biden basement briefing.
Come on. Look. I know you got to be frustrated.
Come on.
Frustrated by high prices, by gridlock in Congress.
Come on, man.
I know.
Come on.
I can taste it.
Come on, man.
All right. Come on, man. Well, it seems that the White House is explaining Joe Biden's lingering cough. He has had a few coughing fits since, as he's been seen in public, both in Kentucky, just spoke a few moments ago at the White House, seems to be fighting off the tail end of COVID. The White House commenting.
I think during the briefing when we were talking about his COVID case, that he experiences coughs from time to time, independent of him getting COVID. And what he's experiencing right now is the lingering effects of COVID, which is something I'm sure many of us who have had COVID have endured or have to deal with.
Experiencing the lingering effects of COVID. The man has had COVID now for his entire 2 years in office. He's had COVID 17 times.
He's certainly been quarantining quite a bit.
He started quarantining long before he took office. We call it the Biden basement briefing for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Now he's not in the basement. He's in the attic. But either way, you know, he's not doing his job. That's for sure.
Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House press briefing was asked about the raid on Mar-a-Lago and whether or not the White House was given a heads up on the FBI's movements.
Was the president or anyone at the White House aware of that search warrant, or has anyone at the White House or the president been briefed in the aftermath of that search warrant being executed?
No, the president was not briefed, was not aware of it. No one at the White House was given a heads up.
Now, she got into this back and forth with Peter Ducey, of course, that one voice who is able to ask a tough question or two. And he asked whether or not the Biden administration was weaponizing the Justice Department. This is the answer, or maybe the non-answer, a better description of Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president believes in the independence of the Department of Justice.
That's a yes or no.
It's a yes or a no for you. I'm answering the question. You may not like it, but I'm answering the question. I'm answering the question, and I'm telling you that we are not going to comment on a criminal investigation. The president has been very clear. I laid out what his thoughts were back on January 7th in 2021 about how he saw the Department of Justice, and I'm just going to leave it there.
I'm surprised he was quick to comment on an ongoing investigation into Hunter Biden, saying he had nothing to do with his son's business dealings. He said that over and over again he could comment on. Mm-hmm. Why can't he comment on this? It's a simple question. We're not even asking you to comment on the investigation. We're asking you if you knew.
Well, and they're asking, actually, if Biden's weaponizing the DOJ. So here's the answer if you're Karine Jean-Pierre. No, we're not weaponizing the DOJ. But did you notice? She didn't say that. This is what is so troubling. Listen to this. This is not about whether or not they knew about the investigation, whether he has faith in the Justice Department. A really direct question from Peter Ducey. Is Biden weaponizing the Department of Justice?
The president believes in the independence of the Department of Justice.
Yes or no?
No, it's a yes or a no for you. I'm answering the question. You may not like it, but I'm answering the question. I'm answering the question, and I'm telling you that we are not going to comment on a criminal investigation.
This is why she is so bad at her job, because she makes it about whether or not they're going to comment on an investigation or not. That's not what he's asking. Your answer should be no. We want to hear from the president that the Department of Justice is not being weaponized, even if he's lying his head off.
Of course. Her answer should be, what a ridiculous question. How did you come up with that? The Justice Department operates independently of the president. Ugh. She's literally horrible. Jean-Claude Van Damme. She should go back to acting in movies.
It's Karine Jean-Pierre. Please do not besmirch the name of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I thought it was Jean-Claude Van Damme is her name.
Quite the looker. That movie with the hockey movie. Ooh, I like that one. That was a good one.
I think I'm rubbing off on you a little bit.
Why?
Because you talk about good-looking guys. You don't like when I talk about good-looking girls.
Sure I do.
Dames I run around with.
Well, when you call them dames. If you're respectful and you say, wow, she's really beautiful, I'll agree with you.
Right, of course. She's a beautiful dame.
Yeah. Oh, good.
It's one hot broad.
Good Lord.
Does anybody even use those terms
No,
anymore?
Only you. The 70. You should have been a madman. You're living in the wrong era, I think. You have your Tito's for lunch and your ladies waiting at home with their slippers. All right. Uncle Tom 2 is coming. We are so excited about it. We've got an exclusive screening coming for you, Southern California, with a special guest, our friend Larry Elder, the Sage. He's going to be there. Tickets, just $29.99 for a VIP meet and greet with Larry himself before the show. All tickets are going to include a one-hour Q&A with Larry after the show. Go to am870.info, keyword uncle, to get your tickets. That is am870.info, keyword uncle. This is going to be the launch of Uncle Tom 2. You want to be there for the premiere and that VIP meet and greet. am870.info, keyword uncle, for more information and to get your tickets. All right, as we continue, it seems that not only does California have a homeless problem, but they can't find enough police officers to monitor the rising crime rates. What are we going to do to fix that problem? Well, we'll tell you some ideas being floated as your Wednesday Morning Answer continues.
This is your Morning Habit with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Yeah, I also have a song I wrote about Joe Biden. It goes, no one's going to admit they voted for the idiot. No one's going to admit they voted for Joe Biden. Oh, what a mistake the whole nation made by voting in the senile liar Joe Biden.
It's the Morning Answer with Jennifer Horn and Grant Stinchfield.
Pardon me. Thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday, right smack dab in the middle of the week on your Morning Answer. I'm Jennifer Horn.
And I'm Grant Stinchfield. And I'm snacking on wasabi nuts here.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. You like wasabi nuts?
You know what?
Like some of these nuts?
Oh, good Lord.
What?
It's insulting. I don't know if I've ever had them. I have had wasabi almonds, which I am a big fan of. I don't know about
they're good.
Your wasabi nuts. Police departments across the country are facing severe staffing shortages. We know about this, right? We know Philadelphia saw a huge departure of officers, New York, a lot of people. And the headline has been that a lot of these officers are just taking early retirement. They want to get out. It seems that as a result, the shortages are also coinciding with a spike in crime across the nation. So just to give you a picture, because we get stuck in Southern California here, Denver homicides surged in 2021, doubled the total of 2015. Philadelphia saw the largest number of homicides ever recorded in the city, up 13% from 2020. And this is just the conversation that's kind of happening across the country. In LA, 650 fewer officers are working now than before the pandemic. The city has downsized because of this. It's human trafficking, narcotics, and gun details. And they closed the animal cruelty unit and decreased the homeless outreach teams by 80%. Think about that. So because of this shortage of personnel in Los Angeles, 650 fewer officers, we're losing forces when it comes to human trafficking, narcotics, and gun details. And no more animal cruelty unit. That's been shut down. And outreach teams to the homeless now down 80%. This is just one of the reasons that we're seeing the spike of crime and the spike in homelessness. Obviously, there are other factors, but this is a big one, Grant.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to weigh this out, right? So animal cruelty, you need to have an animal cruelty unit.
But it's closed now. We have none.
I mean, that's horrible, because have you ever driven through some of these neighborhoods and looked at the dogs that need help?
Yeah, in my area, a lot of horses, a lot of, because you have a lot of like ranches and stuff around here. There are people
I've
that
covered
look
some
like
of
it's
these
not
cases
great.
Back in the day when I was in the mainstream media, they're horrible. Some of the ways that these people take care of their animals. How do you not? That's humanity that you need that. Sex trafficking. This is humanity. You know, Democrats will tell us that Republicans who want border security are somehow inhumane. It's the most humane thing to secure the border so we stop the sex trafficking of little girls being raped. But Democrats don't want that. This is proof.
This is
proof that this is not an important thing to them. Homeless outreach. Oh, I could care less about that. You know what? Police shouldn't be outreaching the homeless. They should be arresting them.
Well, and I would like clarification for what the outreach means. Does it mean moving them away from places? Does it mean answering 311 calls? Because I am all for outreach if that means getting people's RVs and their campsites off of the sidewalks and moving people along.
Yeah, that's not what it means.
But we don't know. You know, we don't know exactly what the clarification is.
It needs to be a reach out program, which means you reach out, you grab them, you put them in handcuffs, and then you take them to jail.
But it makes you also wonder, so 650 officers in LA. We know the sheriff's department is suffering in LA County because they have a hiring freeze, so he can't hire in new
650 officers is what? Is the shortage?
In LA, yes. So I think they're talking about, they're referring to the LAPD when they talk about this. I don't think they're including sheriff's deputies because the sheriff's force, I think, is down far more than that. And so they have a hiring freeze in the sheriff's department. LAPD is down 650 officers, or at least they have fewer officers than before the pandemic. So this tells me a couple of things. You've got officers who are retiring, and I wonder how much, and it probably hasn't been publicized very much, did the vaccine mandates impact the LAPD. We talked to Michael McMahon, who is a person who lost his job because he fought back against the vaccine mandates. But how many officers just said, you know what, I'm retiring, I'm out of here, I don't want to deal with this anymore, and just took off?
There's a lot. And I do believe it was a way to weed out those officers who would not comply with unconstitutional demands. And so those officers are now gone. That's convenient for them. Now, I would offer this, you know, the LAPD is not going to be happy with me saying this. But, folks, if you're driving around listening and you're thinking about becoming a police officer, do not become a police officer with the Los Angeles Police Department. Do not do it. Do not become a police officer in Los Angeles County as long as you've got someone like George Gascon in office. Because literally he will hang you out to dry before he hangs the criminals out to dry.
Ms. Nicole Litton will be charged with CISC.
Sorry.
Yes, I will go after the police officers before I go after criminals. I know this sounds counterproductive to crime, but I do believe the crime is being committed by the police officers.
By the way,
I do. That's George Gascon.
He is he's in trouble again, this Gascon. And I'll tell you about some more really disturbing crime numbers in a second, but Gascon is in trouble again because victims' families are upset that he is, or infuriated, probably the better word, he's trying to vacate death sentences of violent criminals in LA right now. So he's not stopping with the recall. And he may have help, by the way. This is another story that's percolating that we are going to cover. He may have help from the LA County recorder, Dean Logan, who has been not allowing members of the Recall Gascon team to watch the signature verification process.
All right, let me ask you this question. I'm asking you this legitimately as advice, okay, before I call on people to do this. You know how the left was going and demonstrating in front of Supreme Court Justice Holmes, and we were saying that was so awful that they were doing that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm debating. I'm not doing this yet, but I'm debating on calling anyone in Los Angeles who wants safe streets to go protest outside of George Gascon's home. Should I do that or not do that?
Well, I'll leave that up to you, but I do.
No,
think,
I'm asking
well,
you.
Here's
this
why,
is the, I don't
legally,
want you to leave it up to me.
Well, I'm going to give you legal advice right now because, okay. You know, I practice law.
Right.
3 hours a day on the radio. I believe that it is legal to protest outside of George Gascon's home. What is not legal is to protest out of Supreme Court justices' home. You're not allowed to protest in front of someone, especially when they're considering cases, whether it's a judge, a jury, or a member of the court, which is why legally I took issue with this, because these are not just free and fair protests. You're not supposed to be out in front of the home. Now, George Gascon, free game. He's a public and he's an elected official, and they certainly protested in front of Jackie Lacey's house, who is his predecessor.
All right, so what you're saying is I should call for this.
I think legally it's totally fine. I can't believe that people haven't already done this, by the way.
How
with
are
someone
people not
controversial.
Doing this? I mean,
right.
We really need to start considering whether or not we should protest in front of
George Gascon's home. Let him come out and say, please go home.
We ain't got no home.
Just put them all there.
Hello, I'm District Attorney George Gascon.
I think this is what we need to do. Maybe we should get a call. Would anybody join me? Do you have a bullhorn, by the way?
Do I have a bullhorn? No, but I could get one.
Could you get one for me? Because I'd want a bullhorn if I got
one. Of course, they're not hard
one.
To find.
What about like one of those
cheerleading megaphones?
Yeah. Cheerleading megaphone would be fine. What about one of those grocery store boxes? You know, those little... The little milk cartons that I could, milk
you,
crates that I
you
could stand on.
You want to stand on a milk carton? I won't get you.
Yeah,
your
milk
guy
crate.
Off the ground.
A milk crate, not a carton.
Yeah,
a milk
you need
crate.
To stand on some crates with the bullhorn. Is that what you're
yeah.
saying? And
yeah.
then what would your rallying chant be?
My rallying chant would be crime, crime, go away.
Come again another day.
Another day, something no. like that. I don't know. I'll write one. You're putting me on the spot. I got to come up with one. George Gascon.
It's gotta go.
You're a pain in my arse.
Oh,
George
no.
Gascon, get kicked by
you know
a
what?
Horse.
All you people working for Hallmark, do not worry. Stench is not coming for your job. Roses are red, violets are blue. George Gascon is scary, and so are you.
There you go. That. That's good. Okay.
855-785-8255 will tell you what victims' families are saying about George Gascon and this crazy number in murders. The number of street crimes really on the rise. This is not getting enough local attention. The numbers will surprise you. We'll have the details for you after we check the roads and your headlines on your Wednesday morning answer.
Hi, this is George Gascon.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.